Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and we are very fired up because we've got Ray Higdon here and for another session of the Life on Fire Virtual Summit. And so what I love about Ray is that he has a heart of gold. He's actually the one that's responsible for Kevin Harrington being on the Life on Fire Virtual Summit that's coming up. And he's just, you know, he's a guy that has a generous heart. You know, he's willing to give first. And I think that's a just in business, you don't come across that often. So, you know, he's a kind of guy where he's always out to build relationships and to give. And I think that's one of the many reasons why he's built such a big and amazing business. And what I love about Ray as well is that, you know, he's going to be sharing some of his best marketing tips and strategies, and also how he's living what we call a life on fire, where he's loving what he's doing, you know, for work. He's helping others, and he's having a great process. So, you know, he's having a great journey along the way. It's not just 100-hour work weeks, you know, so he's got a great lifestyle too. And he's got an expertise in marketing in different forms, a background in network marketing, got to the top of that industry, and then teaches others. So without further ado, my man, Ray Higdon, how goes it?
It's going awesome, man. Honored to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, sweet. We're excited to have you here, and I'd love to just kick things off and have you just catch us up on, you know, what you're working on now, and then we're going to kind of tap into, you know, your background journey, and then work to grab some of those marketing nuggets that you have.
It's muted. Okay. Let me unmute.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, now you can hear me. All right, cool. Yeah, you know, what we do now is we have a coaching and training business that basically services internet marketers, network marketers, people in direct sales, and basically teaching them how to generate leads, how to recruit more reps, get more sales, and become top earners in whatever opportunity they want to. So we have, you know, we have lots of products for the person just starting, and then we have more advanced coaching and masterminds for those that are, you know, maybe further along in their career.
Awesome. And what I love is, I mean, that's a tight niche. You know, you've taken the business coaching, drilled it down to network marketing specifically, which is so key to narrow your niche. And so tell us about that process. You know, why network marketing?
You know, I never planned on it. I didn't plan on network marketing. I had some of the same stigmas and hangups with network marketing that I think, you know, some people do. And, you know, I had, you know, gotten into real estate, done really, really well. And then when the market changed, lost it all. And a buddy introduced me to network marketing a few years ago, and I decided, hey, what the hell? You know, I tried my own real estate investment business. I had failed in an advertising franchise, and I just said, hey, I'm going to run with this thing. And what I learned in the process and in the journey is it's such a low-risk, low-overhead way for you to generate income. And so I just decided to rock and roll with it. Was the number one income earner in my last company, earning over $1 million in commissions. And, you know, now we've built a, you know, multi-million year coaching and training business as well.
And so as far as network marketing goes, I think what's so interesting is, you know, I've got a background in it as well. And then I, you know, it's almost like I listened to so many people around me about the stigma and things and went into other industries and realized, you know what? It was the whole business in a box. I mean, it was like the amount of stuff you have to learn and do on your own to create your own products and services. And there's so many people making great income. And so what would you say, you know, for someone that is in network marketing or someone that's building it, you know, what did you do to create such growth? Or, you know, what are some of the tips to growing a network marketing business?
Yeah, you know, we've learned so much along the way. You know, when I first started, I thought it was, you know, probably like a lot of people, I thought it was just about sales and sell. And, you know, what I learned is you have to train in a way that you're actually training others. So it's not just providing an answer, but teaching people to teach so that you can start having more duplication and having people, you know, expand your business. You know, there's two main categories of building really, I mean, really any business. There's prospecting and there's marketing. So marketing is more passive. You do something, you hope an unnamed individual reacts or responds to it. Prospecting is you go out and hustle and get the business. So when I started blogging, I didn't know what I was doing. It was really horrible, and it was, you know, an ugly site, and people told me it was ugly. So I didn't have leads funneling in, so I had to go out there and get the business. And, you know, some people have heard my story of how I went out there and got 20 no's a day, and, you know, hey, I did. I was in foreclosure. I needed to make money. So, you know, now we generate, you know, thousands and thousands of leads a month, so I don't have to do that. But the two main categories are prospecting, go out there, hustle the business, online, offline, cold market, warm market, and then marketing. Put out marketing that is value-based to attract people to you, and that's kind of what we teach.
I love it, and I do want to drill down a little bit into into that story of where you were up against the wall, you know. Yeah. And I feel like as entrepreneurs, I mean, there's, you hear it time and time again, when you're up against the wall, the things you're willing to do to persevere. And sometimes, you know, I as a coach as well, I mean, I see entrepreneurs that aren't willing to go to that level. And so, tell us about that moment where, you know, you were up against the wall. You had to have that grit to just persevere. And was there something that snapped in your mindset, or was it just like an attitude of, I don't care what has to happen, I have to prospect and I have to get people? But how did you, as far as mindset goes, you know, how did you get yourself to a point where it was just like failure wasn't an option?
Yeah, great question. There are a few things that attributed to that. You know, when I was pretty successful in real estate. I mean, I moved, you know, hundreds and hundreds of houses as a real estate investor. So I was flipping contracts, I was rehabbing, I was doing all that stuff. I opened a multi-state, a three-state real estate investor association, had speakers rolling in, so I was doing the deal. And, 22 days a month, Vegas, Chicago, Phoenix, Miami, LA, speaking and selling real estate investor education. When that crashed, I really had a challenge of my identity, because I had, you know, created this success persona, and, you know, I was all smiles and, you know, go to meetings, but, you know, inside I was like, what is happening? And for about a year, I was just kind of in this mental, like, coma, you know, where I was just like, I hope things get better. And, you know, I didn't, like, talk about this with people. In fact, nobody really knew this, besides my girlfriend, who's now fortunately my wife. No one knew this. And I think one of the, you know, punch in the stomach moments was I was having a family get together at my house. And, you know, my mom, there's a doorbell rang. My mom went to the door, and she came back, and her face was all white, and she was clearly upset. I thought, you know, okay, someone died here. And in reality, it was someone giving her my foreclosure papers. Wow. And, you know, she didn't know, because, you know, she's had a tough life too, and I didn't want to burden her with that. But now, you know, that feeling of guilt, that feeling of disappointment, that feeling of, because, you know, she used to always brag about me, like, oh, he's really successful in real estate. And so many things happened there. And I think, you know, I've heard this said before, but, you know, the thing that's more powerful than depression is anger. And I just got pissed off. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? You know, and so I just, you know, that was kind of, you know, a moment that helped me move forward. There are a few other things that kind of kicked in, but, you know, that was definitely a contributing factor. And so I actually created a psychological trigger in that anytime I thought about how bad life was, or how I thought about how times used to be good, I picked up the phone and I just, like, boom. And I sometimes would just scroll and be like, hey, you open it, you know, and I was connecting with people. I was telling people, hey, I'm going to do it with or without you. I'd love to do it with you. So I was just monster. I was just a monster action taker, monster, just get this stuff done. And, you know, I went to my girlfriend and said, hey, listen, next 2 years are going to be sheer hell. I'm going to lock myself in my office. I'm going to get out of this, you know, over $1 million in debt, and I'm going to get out of this hole that I'm in, and it's not going to be easy. And, you know, you have everything going for you, young, beautiful, college graduate. I don't have that much going for me right now. And she decided to stick by me, fortunately for me, and hopefully for her too. But, you know, times, you know, that's really, all of those things helped me kind of just really go after it and shed that, you know, diminished view that I'd had of myself for about a year.
Man, that's so wild. That literally goosebumps just hearing it, because I think that there's so many times that, you know, there's a really rosy picture of being an entrepreneur, and what's created are hyped up. And the reality is, I mean, you got to go through some serious tough times, you know, at different times in your life, and there's stages and seasons. And I think one thing you said there that I just want to put the exclamation point on is you had that psychological trigger, as you called it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you had that thought in your head that was a negative thought, you picked up the phone and you took action and persevered. And I just want to highlight that, because, you know, for everyone that's watching or listening or, you know, here live, it's at the end of the day, it's you reframed that negativity, you know, that fear, or whatever, however you were feeling at that moment, and instead you just said, you know what, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to go harder, faster, stronger, you know, angrier. And that's so awesome, you know, to hear that. And that to me is a big nugget, a big takeaway to change that pattern, because it's easy. It's easy to get funked out as an entrepreneur, especially, I mean, did you say $1 million in debt?
Oh yeah, well over $1 million. When it was funny, when I kind of came out of the financial funk, my CPA, he asked me, he goes, man, you're really crushing it. He goes, do you know how many foreclosures you have? I'm like, no. He's like, you have 8. Right? I had 8 houses that I lost in foreclosure, but I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't pay attention to the paperwork coming. I paid attention to making money. I paid attention to building my business. And, you know, now it's more about, you know, following my passion, my purpose, my vision, all of that. In the beginning, I had to make money. I was just sick of being in that, you know, space.
I think what's going to be cool is as we transition, I think that there's a part of you that said you just have to basically pound it out and make money. And I want to drill down and just into a couple things that you did there. And then I want to hear about that transition where you started to really, you know, getting into more of your life's work and your purpose. Because sometimes, as much as I am an advocate for people finding their purpose up front, sometimes if you're in that upside down mode like I was and like you were, you don't have a choice. You sometimes just have to put in the work and put in the labor to make it happen. And, you know, in that mode of just having to, you know, cover costs and get out of debt, what would you say your biggest marketing weapons were at that point? You know, is it just the prospecting and just taking action, or were there anything else inside of that?
So in the beginning, for sure, it was the prospecting numbers. It was just sheer numbers of me being bold, me not caring if someone said no, me just going after, you know, just going after everyone. And the thing that I did there is I never tried to close everyone, but I did see who was open. And so I would say things like, you know, hey, I'm going to do it with or without you. I'd love to do it with you, right? And, you know, so I painted a vision that I'm going over here. If you want to come with me, awesome. I'd love to lock arms with you. But if not, that's totally cool. And so I wasn't, I think sometimes people think of network marketers as obnoxious and chase them. I wasn't obnoxious and chase. I very quickly disqualified people, and then I might come back to them. However, in the background, and I didn't rely on this for my leads or my sales or anything, in the background I started blogging. Because to me, blogging just made sense. Okay, you know, advertising, as soon as you stop, you know, paying for the ads, they go away. I don't know anyone that's bought something from a 2-year-old email, right? But we make sales and get leads from 2-year-old blogs all day long. And so I just thought, I'm like, you know what, that makes sense. Do a blog, start building my brand, start getting more people, you know, following me and build my list. But in the first 6 months, I barely had any leads, but I just kept going. And there's a word that, you know, I've heard Jim Rohn say and others say that I really just, that it was kind of my word, and it still is, until. I was going to do it until. And I was going to, you know, I think a lot of people, they'll do something for 11 days, 14 days, 30 days, maybe 6 months. I didn't care how long it was going to take. I was going to do it until I became the top earner of that company, until I built a massive following and list. So I just kept doing it until, and now, you know, I mean, now we average on a bad month 2,500 free leads a month, and on a good month 4,500 free leads a month. And that's through, you know, organic, that's through people sharing. Sometimes big earners, they'll share it with their team. And so we generate a lot of leads now, but in the beginning, it just wasn't that just wasn't it. So we did do blogging. We didn't get results right away, but now it's our main source of leads.
Oh, that it's awesome. And I think what I love about this is it's just the true grit that you had to just get it done and take that fast action. Because, you know, if anyone that's in a cash flow crunch, and I've got clients that are there, and you just have to snap. You know, don't wait till you're near bankruptcy. Don't wait until, you know, a near-death experience. It's like just snap, you know, out of whatever, you know, funk you're in now, and just go at it and just be so deliberate. I mean, you just, you know, we're so set on getting out of that debt. You know, when I was 50 grand in debt, and I thought my world was collapsing, you know, when I was, you know, 27, and then I had to do the same thing. And so, you know, it's like having that grit and working until, and then catch us up to now. So I love that your expertise is in blogging, because, you know, with me, I'm on the advertising side, and we're just frankly bad at SEO, and it's something that I think that this is going to be so awesome for people to see how you're doing this. But tell us how blogging is getting you those types of leads.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting, because some people, and we're just now learning and using actually a resource that you suggested. We're just now doing some paid advertising too. Obviously, you can't scale free, right? So you can scale advertising. So we are getting into that, and we've started doing that the last few months. And it's funny, when people hear blogging, a lot of times they do associate that with being, you know, SEO gurus. I'm not an SEO guru. I'm really, if there's anything detail oriented, I'm probably not that good at it, right? But you know, what we do is we pump the consistent value out there into the marketplace that we believe should be shared, that is valuable, that is, you know, attracting the right type of person to us, and that's just what we've done. And so, you know, we have we've been doing blogging, you know, 5 to 7 blogs a week every week for 4 years. And, you know, we teach the main method of marketing that we teach in regards to content is what I call ILT, and that's invest, learn, teach. And so what I found myself doing is anytime I read a good book, anytime I watched a great webinar, anytime I, you know, attended a course or attended an event, I would take my notes and I would transform those notes into blog content. And so I just kept doing that and doing that and doing that. And people, they would always ask me, where do you come up with all this content? And so I just started teaching the ILT method. It's just invest, learn, teach. So you invest in a course, you invest in a book, you invest in an event, you invest in coaching, you learn, you teach what you learn. So, you know, that's as simple as it is. And, you know, I find that when you're doing that, the person that you're trying to attract, you know, they'll want to share it. They'll want to connect with you. They'll get value from you. And it's how you can become an expert in any niche. So I believe I could go into, you know, whatever, plumbing, and, you know, just study plumbing, you know, exercises or strategies or whatever, and I could become a plumbing expert through an the ILT method that we teach. So that's the main thing is, you know, we do, you know, I will have a keyword. Like if I'm going to talk about something, I think about concept first. Then I go into the Google Keyword Planner and I just kind of look, okay, what's a phrase that gets some traffic, that might get me some traffic? But I've literally never done strength of competition analysis. I've never done, you know, what's a harder keyword to hit than another. I just haven't done that. I've just pummeled it with sheer volume. So I tell people, hey, if you want to do it better than me, do that stuff. You know, get a keyword analyzer, get, you know, Market Samurai and tools like that. We just don't use it. We've just been, you know, just pummeling the marketplace with value pretty consistently for quite a long time.
That's huge. And I love the ILT because at the end of the day, it sounds to me like, you know, for you as an expert, you know, it's like the more that you're growing as a person, you're growing as an entrepreneur, and then you're just taking that, it's almost like the Cliff Notes, you know, so you're able to leverage and almost monetize the courses and events and things that you're doing. So that's huge. So anytime I'm taking notes right alongside the person, you know, there's some good stuff happening. So cool. So ILT, I love it. And as far as the keywords and things, so, I mean, are you just having that practical type of writing where you're thinking of what would your audience want, you know, and so you're looking at the content that you're learning in ILT. I mean, what goes, I guess, on in your mind when you're structuring a piece? Is it, tell us about that process, about, you know, how do I make it? What do I do with it?
So I think a lot of bloggers or people that are wanting to become better bloggers, they look at, and many internet marketers do this too, they think very transactionally, right? And so they think, okay, how can I make a process, a transaction profitable, or what did I earn per that transaction? And a transaction could be, I put a blog out there, okay, how much did I make from that blog? Whereas I think community, all right? I think how do I build a community of value that people want to be a part of? And so it's not, you know, it's almost, I really do think of, okay, would someone that comes into my community want to consume all of my blogs? And the answer is yes. And we actually, you know, learned from, you know, one of your friends, John Lee Dumas. We recently started podcasting too. And I'll have people tell me, hey, Ray, I listened to all 150 of your podcasts. And that's how I think about blogging too, is I think about, okay, would my particular target market want to consume all of these different things? Where people do this wrong, I think, is they get too tangled up in the keywords and they find a really cool keyword that maybe not be super congruent with their blog, but they'll say, man, it's too good of a keyword to pass up. That's not how I think. I think community. I think I want to get people into my community so that they're ensnared and they want to stick around the community forever. And so we don't look to, you know, how much profit do we make per blog or anything like that. We look at the community as a whole and look to constantly be, vigilant with what we share. You know, I don't want to share anything that's going to send them off course. I want to share things that's going to add value to that community. That's where I really think. So I come up with a concept, and sometimes it's recruiting, sometimes it's marketing, sometimes it's mindset, and I go into Google Keyword Planner, just google.com/SKtool, and it's a free tool, and I will type my thoughts in there. I'll type like, okay, how to close more reps, how to sponsor more people, or how to make money using a blog, or something along those lines, and then I'll just look at the traffic, and I'll look at, okay, what's getting more traffic than others. And I'll use that keyword over there. So I never want something that's unnatural. I don't want something that, sometimes you get these unnatural keywords. That's for someone that's looking to transactionally grab someone from Google. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at how do I make a community so people from the outside want to get in that community. And it just may happen they find it through Google, but it's really more about the community than any individual blog piece.
You know, what's interesting is I think that that method not only would make it take a lot of the pressure off someone of saying, I don't know how to do all the keyword stuff, or I don't know how to do SEO, and essentially you're just doing it generally what's in the best good for who you've identified as your target market, and I feel like that takes a lot of the challenge or the stress out of this equation, off of it, and you're putting them first as opposed to some crazy strategy to optimize, and that to me, that's is the stuff that kind of is fly by night. It's like the more you try and game Google, the more you have to keep up and chase your tail, and you're just looking at it and saying, all right, I want to build a community, I'm going to give them the best stuff, and I just think that's just a really smart idea and a great flow. Outside of that, what do you do to create community? So you've got the content. Are there things that you do? Is it getting them to engage on posts? Do you have a private Facebook group? How do you take that community building to the next level with your content?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have lots of things. There are multiple things within a blog that I suggest. One thing is to understand why you're blogging. Yes, I'm building a community, but to build that community, I need them on my list. And so the number one point of blogging is to build your list. Marketing is building your list, period. It's not getting my name out there. It's not branding. It's building my list. So you have to have a good giveaway. Have a good giveaway. I see people that are blogging consistently, but they don't even have a giveaway. That is not a smart strategy. You need to keep building that list so that when you do a blog, you send it out to that list and you get them used to it. Like, I'll have people email me, they're like, hey man, are you going to blog today? And, because they're so used to me sending out those blog posts and helping them out, basically. So have a great giveaway for sure. Have different ways to monetize it. We have strategies like I think I mentioned earlier, all the way from $7 all the way up to $50,000. So, we have different products for different types of people, and they all can kind of stair step into each other. And so have something that you can monetize. And, it's some people, they have like one thing for sale. I think that's a mistake. I think you need to have multiple things for sale at different price points as well, because there's a community on the free side, right, of value, of attracting people to me, and then there's a whole nother world on the inside. Like, we have things like Top Earner Success School, where it's 3 months of intense group coaching, where we're mentoring people, giving them assignments, and we have just a fervent culture inside of that. And so you can create these pockets of fervent cultures inside your different products, and while also having that very excited, there's a lot of people on the list that'll never buy anything, and that's okay. If I'm helping them, then awesome. But then the people that do decide to step up, and I would encourage people to treat their customers like that, that's where you give even more love, even more value, even more assistance and things like that. So yeah, I'm always saying, always having a call to action. Hey, enter your name and email over there if you want my blah, 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 blah. And also encouraging them to share with people, encouraging them to comment below. And yeah, so really, really all the above there.
Yeah. And on the on your lead magnet or the free offer giveaway, how would you advise or give someone some advice on what they should put together? You know, are there things that you find that work the best for that lead magnet?
Yeah, you know, it's I had at our last mastermind that we had Ben Settle speak there, and Ben is, you know, I don't know if you know Ben.
I don't.
But Ben, he is, I mean, he's one of the best copywriters in the world. And, you know, like he wrote the pages for Magnetic Sponsoring, which
I've
kind of beat for years and they haven't. You know, and he's just a really, really sharp dude. And one thing he said that I really, really like, and I think more people need to understand it, is he said, if you have a weed killer, talk more about my crabgrass than your weed killer. Right, so it's talking about the problem of your prospect more than your solution, right? So you want to, you know, agitate their problem a little bit more. So when I advise people to create a giveaway, I just tell them, what is your target market stay up late at night thinking about? Okay, what is it that they, when someone challenges them on why they haven't had success, what is their first response to that? Okay, like what is that one thing that's really keeping them from creating success? And you know, one thing that I found in network marketing is a lot of people say, "Oh, I ran out of people to talk to," and that's why I created, you know, 29 sources of network marketing leads on audio for absolutely free. So it's all these different places to locate people to talk to, so you never run out of people to talk to ever again. And so you want to, you know, think about what is something that really bothers your target market. And you know, I put mine in an audio. You know, you can do audio, you can do video. I don't know too many people who've watched the same video 100 times, but I know a lot of people that's listened to the same audio hundreds of times. So that's kind of, I like to use audio when it's appropriate. In a giveaway, I think it's totally cool. I think you'll get more mobile opt-ins if you have audio. Just my opinion, haven't tested it. But yeah, you want to have something. What's going to make your target market toss and turn at night if they don't get? That's what you want. You don't have join my newsletter. Don't have, you know, get daily emails from me. No one wants that, okay? That's like your solution or whatever. They want something that is really going to benefit them. So don't just tell them what it is, tell them what it does. You know, it's like I say, it is 29 sources of leads, but it does, you'll never run out of people to talk to, right? So that's very powerful for my target market, and you can use that kind of idea for your target market.
That's huge. That's huge. It's kind of like the makes me think of just the fear of loss, or catering towards the pain as opposed to the positive or the pleasure side. So that's big. Now, how about so let's just say that you know, that we frame up our lead magnet, we get it up, we've got our blog, we start, you know, throwing out some content, you know, using the ILT, you know, model or method. Do you use are there any tips as far as like, do you use a pop-up on the site for the opt-in, or is there a certain spot, or just any tips on, you know, kind of bringing up more of those or increasing the opt-in percentage?
Yeah, so it's, you know, we haven't, I think we're about to test out a pop-up. We had it a long, long, long time ago, and it's tough. You know, with a blog, you're going to get a lot of repeat visitors. You know, like we get, right now we're right around 100,000 uniques a month. But that's like millions of hits a month, you know, because a lot of people come back every single day for new blogs. So we've kind of been hesitant to do a pop-up, but I know you can do them in just like the first time you see it or whatever. The biggest thing, the number one change for me was I was doing videos and I wasn't getting a whole lot of leads. I think I was getting like 600. At least I didn't think it was a lot of leads. I was getting like 600 a month, and I'm like, man, what do I do here? And it's so funny because sometimes you just got to go back to basics. And I heard someone talk about the simple, you know, call to action, and so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna start saying that at the end of my video because I'd kind of been doing them for so long that I just assumed whoever was watching it was already on my list. That simple change of me at the end of every single video, and my videos are usually 3-4 minutes. I don't do them very long. That simple change, my it went immediately from like 600 to 2,000 a month. And so the key here with me saying that is when you start, it's not going to happen fast, typically. At least it didn't for me. But as you start to build a bigger footprint of, you know, I like to call them, they're like like online resources or online assets. You know, all these different blog posts of all these different categories are like little online assets, little soldiers working to get me more sales and get me more leads. And as you build a bigger footprint, when you tweak just a little bit, you see a big impact. In the beginning, tweaks don't, they may not matter that much, but when you build a big footprint, a little tweak can make a big difference, and that's what I saw with mine. So having a mention inside of each blog of what your giveaway is, you know, hey, tell them top right of this page, make sure you enter your name and email, and then also if you're doing video, which I highly suggest because, you know, it builds a lot of rapport, if you're doing video, at the end, make sure you're doing a call to action that's not just share and comment. I mean, yeah, you should say that, but also clearly say, assume they're not on your list, and, you know, just tell them about your giveaway, or if you have multiple capture pages, tell them about a capture page. But I would suggest every single video that you do have some kind of call to action to become a lead at the end of it.
Okay. And, you know, I think what's cool is we've kind of heard your journey from over $1 million in debt. And I can't help but, smile thinking about that, is because that's crazy when you overcame that all the way up to now. And so I want to, you did mention before about purpose and about how, you know, in the beginning you're kind of gritting it out, making it happen, and then purpose has really been woven into your business since then. So I'd love to just, you know, have you share, you know, what makes you tick with your business? You know, how, you know, what do you feel your purpose is with your business, and how did you end up discovering that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of elements to it. First of all, I see success to me, if I boiled it down to two things, it would be growth and contribution. I have to be growing. Okay, and that means mentally, it means spiritually, it means financially. You know, I do have fairly aggressive financial goals as well as, you know, everything else. And so growth and then contribution. And contribution is a really interesting category. And, you know, one thing that you mentioned before about, you know, find your purpose and then go to work. Well, sometimes you find that purpose through going through your work. And sometimes you have to take some action to find what it is. And the worst thing you can do is, if you don't have purpose, is just kind of sit there and burn incense and, you know, hopefully you find a purpose, right? Get to work. Wherever you are, get to work and really take action and get that figured out. So a couple things when it comes to the contribution kind of phase. Number one, I love it now that I consider myself a king and queen maker. Right. I had a client, you know, this year, my good friend Tanya Eliza. We helped her with her very first product launch. She did first product launch at over $250,000. So it was wow. Like, man, that's awesome. And now we have another client, Mark Harbert, who's about to do his first big product launch. And that's kind of, I think it starts, you know, soon. But we love doing that. We love king and queen creating, right? Helping someone get to the next level, because, you know, for the first few years, I had to get out of my way. I had to dig myself out of my hole. And now I still have aggressive goals for myself, but it's so much fun seeing someone who hadn't accomplished something go crush it. And, you know, it's just so cool seeing my different clients on stage and seeing different people. So that's a big passion for me. Another big movement for me is inspiring my children. I have two boys, 16 and 15. Both are awesome. You know, honor roll, Nash Honor Society. One's a captain of his cross country team. And, you know, for my youngest birthday, we went out to South Dakota. We actually worked with the Boys and Girls Club out there and painted the entire building and had a lot of fun out there. And we love doing that kind of stuff. And we actually, I know, you know, with Pencils of Promise, you know, you're doing the Guatemala. We're actually building a school in Guatemala through another company, which is, you know, pretty cool. A different charity that I found out about before I talked to you. And so we love doing that kind of stuff and just, you know, being an inspiration. And so I feel that you're given a responsibility when you've done whatever you've done to be placed on a platform. Right now we're on a platform of impact, and I don't know, you know, will the platform impact last my entire life? I don't know. But I know for right now I'm on a platform of impact that I can use to inspire other individuals, that I can use to, you know, raise the conversation level in network marketing. You know, we it's a troubled profession sometimes, in that some people are, they're not taught the right ways. They're not taught posture. They're not taught that you don't have to be, whatever. You don't have to play scarcity to succeed in this profession. And so there's a lot of callings there, but the main things are growth and contribution, play big, make an impact, inspire others, and just teach that message so it permeates everywhere, everyone and everyone around me.
And so would you say that you're on fire?
I'm on fire, man. I'm on fire.
Dude, that is so awesome, man. I just love it. I mean, I love your business philosophy. I love just your heart and authenticity. And I want to really make sure that we're also doing good back to you. So tell us how we can support you. So I would love for you to share with us, something where people can take the next step with you. And I think, guys, as you can see, Ray is just a guy with so much knowledge and such a giving personality and heart, and I think that there's so much wisdom to learn from Ray. So what do you have that you can share that we can take to get more information about what it is that you do and what have you?
Sure, absolutely. It depends. If you like podcasts, feel free to check out my podcast. We started doing them maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and last month they had almost 90,000 downloads. So, we're getting there. I thought it was pretty neat. You can check that out, rayhigdon.com/podcast. If you are in really any niche and you want to know more details about the ILT method and how to apply that in your world, you can check out rayhigdon.com/info marketing. I actually do teach a little bit about product creation in that, but it's just a free training. I don't even have anything for sale there, believe it or not. I probably should, huh? But it's just a free training. It's about probably 45 minutes to an hour. And it really goes into depth on how to become an expert in your niche, how to use the ILT method, and rock it out.
I love it. I love it. And one more time with the link.
That's rayhigdon.com/info marketing, I-N-F-O marketing.
Awesome, man. Well, I just want to thank you again for your time here and sharing all the wisdom that you have. And I thank you from all of us with the Life on Fire Virtual Summit. So you guys, take action, hop on and grab that information that Ray suggested. Follow him, hop on the podcast, and stay up with Ray. And so you guys have an awesome rest of your day. We'll catch up with you on the next episode of the Life on Fire Virtual Summit. See you guys.
Bye.